We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Flo here with a word that's just weird. Terry cloth. Who exactly is Terry? And why does he get his own fabric? Did he journey below SPF 50? Fight off some weeds and his daffodils? How about a word for everyone? Flotection. Yeah, I just made it up. But I'm not making up how great it feels when me and Progressive protect your new home. Ever think of that, Terry? No. Terry only thinks of himself.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is with Giancarlo Navas and Ryan Goins.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, we have our producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins.
What's up?
We have Heat Twitter president Alf.
I'm not going to follow
that's,
Brian.
That's you. Okay. And we have Hot Take Harry. Harrison Citron.
Yeah, I think Brian ruined it, but we're here, yeah.
That's okay. Brian ruins everything. He's going to be our Alex Toledo for the day. Thanks, Brian.
Professional screw-up.
Yes, you are our most professional screw-up. And this is a Heat Beat Podcast. Guys, I don't know where we want to start today because there's a lot to get into. We're going to do a mailbag later. We're going to unveil a game. I guess I want to start with making fun of the Knicks because the Knicks.
Yeah.
I mean,
because the Knicks.
I was reading a tweet today. I don't remember who it was from. I think it was from Sweep the Leg, and he was saying how the Heat lost 3 Hall of Famers and are still better than the Knicks.
Yeah.
Like considerably better. It's not even really close.
Like a lot better. Like what Harry said. So how are they so bad for so long? And all those Knicks fans talk so much garbage.
Because they have no organizational structure. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have a plan. Like when you sign Joakim Noah for 4 years after he hasn't been a decent NBA player in 2.5, you don't have a plan. Like you're just basically you're playing NBA 2K, but the problem is you're playing 2014 version. Like you're not even playing today's game. Like you're still running the triangle offense. Like it's just bad, man. It just shows no foresight. It's like a poorly run company, if that's what it is.
But like, I love when you juxtapose it to the Heat, and I know that there are a lot of people that it's still like there's an annoying section of the fan base that wanted to tank and this and that and say that the Heat are just a middle of the road team. But you look at the guys the Knicks are signing. You look at the guys the Sacramento signs. And then you look at what Miami does. They bring these guys in, and they start having career years all over the floor. Like, it's such a stark difference of competence in your franchise. It's startling. Harry, did you want to ask something? I saw you wanted to talk.
No, I just was thinking that, I mean, that's kind of what we always clamor about, and we get, you know, people make fun of us for the culture and everything, and Chris Mannix just wrote a really good article on The Vertical about, like, you know, the Heat could have easily – this could have been an easy season for the Heat to tank and just take, you know, a top pick and do with it. But the Heat are more about player development. They'd rather see Tyler Johnson get better. They'd rather see this full – I mean, James Johnson's playing like – you know, we always say LeBron light, but that's really who he is. And the Heat focus more on getting the most out of the guys that are healthy. And it's obviously been huge, because if the Heat win tomorrow against the Knicks, they're the first team ever in NBA history to be 19 games down, under 500 and make it back to 500. So regardless of how the season ends, that would be a ridiculous accomplishment to be the first team to ever do that.
But like you're saying, Jerry, like, look who they signed. It's not like they signed a bunch of world beaters, right? They signed a bunch of journeymen. They signed the same guys that these other teams signed. So what's the difference, right? Like, you're trying to tell me James Johnson couldn't have got picked up by Sacramento? Like, he basically has been picked up by the Sacramentos of the world before. But they don't do anything with him. Same thing with Deion Waiters. Like, he could have went anywhere. Same thing with Wayne Ellington, Luke Babbitt. Like, there's something to the fact that when guys come to the Miami Heat, they get better. And then you look at the Knicks, and guys go to the Knicks, and they just disappear. Like, where's Courtney Lee? Like, Derrick Rose? Like, it's something about the organization, like what they're doing. It's like they don't even have goals. Like, what did Phil Jackson think he was doing this summer?
Didn't Frank Isola like who? Say he's falling asleep in meetings. Like,
yep,
dude. Like, 4 years for Joakim Noah.
Alf, I will refute something that you said about how the Heat are basically signing Joakim Noah. Like, James Johnson...
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, okay. That James Johnson... I'm sorry. That James Johnson had already been picked up by the Sacramentos of the world and stuff like that. But, like, I think the difference between Miami and these teams are... Like, Deion has not been a bad player. He's been a punchline. But in Oklahoma City, he had a good year. James Johnson...
They look at guys with upside because they have a plan.
James Johnson played with a coach that really handcuffed him in Dwayne Casey his whole career. And Miami, and obviously Miami has some failures like Derek Williams and Dexter Pittman's and Greg Oden's, but...
Derek Williams is why Cleveland's going to win a title. I saw that on Twitter.
They have the best supporting cast LeBron's ever had, so...
Don't sleep on Derek Williams.
Because the Williams sister's over there.
No, but it's... I think what the Heat do is they find guys that have certain skill sets that they think they can translate. So sometimes it works great. Like, sometimes you get James Johnson. Sometimes you get Derek Williams.
Sometimes you get Eddie Curry.
Right.
Sometimes you get Birdman.
Sometimes you get Greg Oden. So, like, but listen, if you're hitting, like, every other time on guys that you're not spending a lot of money on, yo, that's awesome. And the fact that when the Heat brought in the big three, LeBron and Bosch, like, they weren't amazing defenders. Like, the Heat made sure that LeBron was a part of their game plan.
LeBron
wasn't otherworldly. Like, he was a good defender. I mean, LeBron, but he wasn't otherworldly. Like,
first team all defense. You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
Yeah, but he wasn't asked to do. He wasn't as versatile. He wasn't asked to do what he was asked to do here. And then you look at Bosch. Like, Bosch became a defensive anchor here. Like.
Yeah,
he was a good defender, but he became a great defender here.
And Bosch became the best pick and roll defender in the league. I mean, that wasn't something that you would have ever thought Chris Bosch when he was in Toronto. So, these are things that they can see when they're watching film and see when they're watching tape and be like, okay, if we got this guy here in our program, our conditioning, you know, we can get the most out of this guy. And but
that's what I'm saying. They have a plan. Like, what the hell are the Knicks? What are the Knicks doing? Like, yeah, we can salvage Derrick Rose. Like,
Well, the crazy part is a lot of these teams rely on, like, who they are. But the problem is they haven't been good for so long. Like, the Knicks and the Lakers are just hoping to get meetings with free agents and wooing them with the fact that they're playing in, like, L.A. or New York. First of all, L.A. is a shitty city. So, So, I don't understand. I don't understand why people are so excited to go out and play in L.A. And they're obviously, when they do meetings now, they're not really getting people to go out there. The Heat have a great city, a great organization, a good plan. They're the best in the league at player development, maybe second best beyond the Spurs, and they get the most out of their guys, and that's better than anything else that anyone else is doing around the league.
The Knicks are just like an overall, just like a clown show. Like they just had, there's so much drama with Dolan and the whole thing with Oakley. Like that doesn't happen at a good company, at a good organization. Like none of that stuff goes down. And or if it happens, it's dealt with better than the way they dealt with it. But from the top down, it's just a crappy run organization.
Yeah, I mean,
and their fan base makes it so much funnier.
Could you imagine like this Bosch scenario on another like a clown franchise like the Knicks? I mean, it would be the most ridiculous thing. I mean, it sucks for all parties involved, but the Heat have made their decision and they're just letting they're going to do what's best for them and wish Bosch the best. They're not going to risk his health.
They don't say a lot. They don't come out with press releases going back and forth with Bosch like the Knicks did with Oakley. Like it just. They let things die down.
Not a small thing. They've been right most of the time. And I know that a lot of, and myself included, a lot of people did not like how the Dwayne thing went down, but they ended up being right on Dwayne. We've talked before with Evan Cohen, the guys that they let go, Luol Deng, Joe Johnson, right? Like this Chris Bosh thing, we're not really seeing Chris Bosh make a push, to try to campaign to get back on the court after the failed physical before training camp. You know what I mean? Like they've been right most of the time. And I don't want to be the Homer podcast that is just like go Heat, go Heat. Cause there are a lot of things that they do that is ugly business, but they're right a lot. And I know that Alf, we talked about this at the beginning of the season and I was saying how the Heat are in a PR nightmare, that it's going to take a lot of goodwill. Cause they had a lot of goodwill. And offseason, and I was saying on this podcast that I thought that between the Bosch situation and between how the Dwayne thing went down, that they had lost a lot of stock. And look at what's being said around the league. Spoelstra makes guys better. All these guys career, the stability of this franchise, culture, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not just something that we're saying on as Heat fans. Like, this is commentary that's being said around the league. After the summer, it was the apocalypse.
I don't know if it's calculator or not, but if you look at it, what's really happened? Where is all the praise pouring from, or where is it directed to? It's all going to Spoelstra. Yep. It's almost like you see the transition happening, like right in front of your eyes. Like a lot of the animosity and some of the vitriol was headed towards Riley. Or Riley doesn't know how to connect with younger players anymore, or him and Wade lost their way. They've kind of shifted the focus from Riley to Spoelstra. And Spoelstra now has, a great name. He's considered top three coach in the NBA. He's going to be considered for coach of the year. And if anything, like the genius of what's happened this year is shifting the focus from old man Riley, who doesn't connect with players anymore, is hard-edged, who isn't very flexible at all, who ran LeBron and Wade and Bosch out of town, switching the focus from them to look at this amazing coaching staff and look at the amazing organization. Like it's almost like it's like perfectly set up for him to hand over the reins to Eric and be like, okay, this is your thing now, and Eric has one of the best names in the NBA right now.
Guys, look at what players volunteer about him. It's not that they're asked, oh, Spo this, Spo that. James Johnson goes on the radio and volunteers how Spoelstra has helped his career. Deion Waiters is volunteering these things. Hassan Whiteside is mimicking these Spo quotes.
Goran made a video, unsolicited, made a video about
LeBron's network.
Yeah, about Spo being coach of the year, man. It's, even LeBron, I mean, he's never said a public negative thing publicly about Spo. Neither has Dwayne. Like, It's never been Spoelstra. So to make the focus of the Heat franchise Eric Spoelstra right now instead of Pat Riley is probably the smartest PR decision they could possibly make.
We were talking
at least to the rest of the league. Like, we love Riley down here still, but it was starting. His name was starting to become Riley was starting to become kind of poisonous around the league.
But you have and now when you go into free agent meetings, Spoelstra is building this cachet with players about helping them improve. I mean, we remember very clearly what happened with Durant, how impressed he was with Spoelstra, what James Johnson, what Gorin, what all these players, Hassan, what all these players are saying about this coach. They might not need the cachet of Riley going forward. Like, Riley sells you on cachet. Now it's a little different. Now Spoelstra's coming in the room with some weight of his own of, I'm a good coach.
Is it that players are smarter now? Like, is it like, okay, dude, the rings on the table ain't going to work. Show me analytically. Show me some video of what you can do to make me a better player and to help me win. Is that some of what's going on, that why Spo is so impactful now?
I think a lot of – sorry about that sound I made. That was very Stu Gatz of me. I don't know what it was. But I think it's the journey that Spo's taken, that the fact that he's been, like, all through the organization, like, from the fact that he was, you know, the video editor, you know, in the basement – to the strength and conditioning coach, now like one of the best coaches in the league. I think they just see that Spo is smart. So when he's speaking about basketball, it comes off really well. And I think the results of what they're doing speak for themselves. If I was the Heat, I would just have a giant poster board of fat James Johnson in Toronto and sure, like ripped James Johnson. And then you can just play the clips of him dunking. I mean, he's murdered people the last few games.
Skinny Wade in Miami and Fat Wade in Chicago.
Right. I mean, just keep like showing the differences. And I mean, it's not something that everybody wants. I mean, that's why I think it's funny when people talk about, oh, Melo in Miami or floating. Melo would be awful in Miami, man. Like, he's not going to do it. He's not going to
do that diet.
God.
He's not going to do the work. So you really need to get guys that...
He's slandering Melo.
I know these things. Well, weren't we slandering the Knicks earlier? It's just by extension. I mean, he looked like an old fat man last night. Oh, I probably could have taken Melo off the dribble last night, and I can't dribble.
He was purposely not shooting. It was like... It was like almost... I guess, and he talked about it after the game, like, him putting up 30 shots isn't going to help this team in the future. Like... I mean, he just sounded defeated. I felt bad for him, saying he doesn't know what his role is. Like, I don't know, man. Like,
did you see what Lake tweeted last night? How he said he read Melo's lips, and James Johnson asked him, "How you doing, man?" And Melo said, "Just waiting for this to be over."
Yeah, I mean, he looks miserable. Like, Melo didn't shoot at what he had one field goal attempt like midway through the second quarter last night. Like, he. I don't know.
Might as well let Ron Baker take all their shots. That's obviously going to help the Knicks.
What the hell was that?
Who was that guy? Yeah, that guy looks
Ron like... Baker. Ron Baker's the dude from Wichita State Final Four.
Yeah, watch college basketball. He looks like he started Disney Channel shows.
Oh, he does. He looked like a High School Musical out there.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
He looks like he was on TV one time with a shell necklace. Dude, tell me I'm wrong. I'm like, why is
beach,
this guy carving
on a beach doing a choreographed dance routine?
yes. That guy was tearing the heat
singing
up.
About the summer and how he doesn't want it to end.
he did not look like a professional basketball player. He didn't play like one either. But
he looks like he gets high a lot, right?
Dude, how mad were you? Was I the only one getting pissed? Like, every time like we go up by 8, I'm like, okay, game's over. They're about to push us to 14. And then, like, Kylo Quinn would go on a 7-0 personal run.
That guy's gone, man.
Kylo Quinn's the best player on the Knicks.
And Hernan Gomez... what is that?
Alf.
There were a lot of white guys on the court last night.
Yeah, they almost had a full white lineup.
Yeah.
Alf,
They almost went full Klan.
You would know. Alf, in a vacuum, I give you the name, Kylo Quinn. That person is what race?
That person looks like a
like a leprechoon.
That person Plumlee. Looks like Mike Inglis.
He looks like a Plumlee. He looks like a Plumlee brother.
He looks like a Mike Inglis to me.
No, he looks. Kylo Quinn looks like a Plumlee brother to me.
I remember learning that Kylo Quinn was black, and I was like,
what? Oh, there was, dude, there was a Plumlee on the floor last night, wasn't there?
No, I don't think so. Is there a Plumlee on
the Knicks? Knicks? I think the Knicks have a Plumlee.
They do?
I swore I heard Plumlee. Or am I being racist right now? Because I saw a bunch of white guys and I thought what was Plumlee.
Speaking of white guys, there are whispers of Gordon Hayward coming to Miami, according to Frank Isola. It's our boy, dude. We've been campaigning for the Gordon Hayward to Miami.
And what was the – I didn't read the article. What's the context of the whispers?
Frank Isola reported that there are, in quotes, whispers, Hayward will end up in Miami if he does not re-sign with Utah.
It was in his column talking about how Riley has been better than Phil Jackson.
Dude, I love Isola this year, man. Frank, and I've always I've hated him in the past.
Frank Isola is, you know, working his way into Heat lifer. You know what I mean?
I think the article is – I mean, listen, if Utah doesn't offer Hayward the full max, maybe
– Yes, they got a Plumlee. They have a Plumlee. They have an M Plumlee. I don't know which one it is.
Is that the other brother? That graduate, there's another guy from Duke.
They got a Plumlee. I told, I knew they had it. I knew
how,
I saw.
How did we get derailed to this place?
I'm sorry, because I knew
you were talking about white guys.
Centers, yeah, looking at Nick White backup centers.
Now, Gordon Hayward, yeah. What was the report? He's going to take a meeting with the Heat. Of course, he's going to take a meeting.
There are whispers. There are whispers. Whispers.
I mean, psst. Who would you? I was actually on another podcast earlier, and
cheating
the question was,
on us.
Whatever, it was better than this one.
Infidelity.
You want to plug that?
Huh?
Want to plug that?
It was Josh. I can't. No, it was Josh Baumgard.
What was the name of
and
the
it's
podcast?
The Be the Ball podcast. So it'll be posted either tonight or tomorrow.
BTB.
Slice Miami. Sure.
By Josh Baumgard from Slice Miami, friend of Heat Beat.
Friend of the program.
Friend of the program.
Come on.
Yeah, but he was talking about who would you rather, who would be at the top of your list, and you guys know I'm high on Blake Griffin. But, man, I think a lineup that features, what's that white guy's name? Gordon Hayward.
Wow, way to go.
At the three.
Only experts here on the
beat. Al's having podcast fatigue.
Yeah.
Gordon Hayward at the three, Justice at the four. And then whoever, if we re-sign Dion, but Goron and Hassan, man, that's a top three team in the East.
JJ five.
I mean,
JJ
at the four. Well, let me ask you guys something. How good is this Heat team now? Because you're looking at the numbers since they've started the break. Like, I mean, can we give, if we do make the playoffs, can we give teams trouble obviously if we get a favorable matchup.
Healthy Dion, they're top four team in the East.
Brian, could you play a small sample theater? Because I'm glad Harry brought that up, because I think that this is very contingent on how Dion looks when he comes back, and if he comes back, and I have some stats for you.
When it comes to samples, size matters. Except for this next segment. Let's have some fun with some small, teeny-weeny sample sizes. This is Small Sample Size Theater, featuring Nate Heights, Duncan or Christian Hernandez, whoever is available.
Neither.
Just me today. Dion's been out for 5 games now. Miami's 2-3, I guess, cause also last night, so 6 games. Miami's 3-3 in those games with a net rating floating around -3. The defense has also taken a dive. They're at a 106 defensive rating, and the offense has been at about 103. And they're shooting 29% from three, which is really bad, as we know. The Heat defense is top 5 in the league, and since January 17th, they've been top 3. So in the short time that Dion has been out, they've suffered on both the offensive and defensive end significantly. Now, what I think is important looking to the playoffs is their backcourt play. Miami is 1-8 without Goron and 11-19 without Dion. That's startling. Like, if those guys are healthy, that's a good team. Like, think about that. That's 20 plus losses.
Yeah, if they if those guys are, I mean, if those guys are 100%, man, they're like, I really think if it shakes out, if Deion's 100%, I think the East shakes out as the Cavs, the Celtics. I don't believe in the Wizards. I don't care what anybody says. I don't believe in the Wizards. Who else? Who's fourth?
The Raptors.
I don't believe in the Raptors.
Okay.
Without Lowry.
He'll be back. He'll be back.
I mean, I think the Bucks are better than the Raptors with Middleton.
The Bucks can't lose anymore. Ever since there was a playoff race, the Bucks don't lose anymore.
Dude, because they're really, really good with Middleton and
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, that guy.
I think I got it right.
Spell it.
No, thank you. The Heat are 27 and 19 in games that Deion has played.
Games over 500.
So a whole season, that's like 20 games over 500.
It's pretty simple. When Goran and Deion don't play, they're bad, and when they both play together, they're good. They rely, and they don't really have a backup point guard because Tyler Johnson's not a backup point guard, and Josh Richardson's not a backup point guard. They're two guards.
Josh Richardson should never initiate offense again in his life.
He takes forever. He starts the offense at like 10 seconds. And just,
dude, he crosses half court and stops, and then thinks about his pass for the next 8 seconds, and okay, now we're at 9 seconds. Great.
He's had a couple really, he's strung together a couple good games, and last game was probably his best of the season.
Yeah, playing off the ball. He should not handle the ball. Like, he's not that guy.
But we also haven't seen him play healthy with Deion and Goran together, which is really going to slide him into his natural position of kind of an off-ball guard who shoots and plays passing. Like, now they're asking him to defend the guys that Deion would defend. Deion's a much better defender, as we know. So Deion being out really makes everything not work as well as it should.
And the drive and kick is not going.
Yeah,
not
29% from three. That's nuts. Yeah. Like,
because they don't have another guy sucking the defense in.
Yeah, yeah. Deion's playmaking this year has been super underrated, and his ability to drive to the. I mean, he drives to the basket so much. So even though they're not always the prettiest drives, his ability to drive and have the defense collapse on him makes the makes our 3-point shooting a lot more open. But when you guys were talking about the East, I don't know. The East is so weird. I mean, I don't think Cleveland's going to be able to turn a switch and be good defensively. So that's a huge weakness for them. Boston added Al Horford, and they're what, going to win a few more games than they won last year? They're not that great. I think the Wizards could actually be pretty good. I like that team. All of their young guys have been playing well. Beal's healthy this year. Oubre's been good. Otto Porter's the best shooter from the outside in the league. So they're interesting. And Toronto obviously is all health dependent, but I'm not sure exactly.
Toronto if they're healthy with Ibaka, because that's going to add another dimension to their defense that they didn't have before, and the shooting. And sometimes teams could pick on Valanciunas a little bit, and they won't be able to with Ibaka. So, and now if I kind of hear what you're saying, Miami won't be and shouldn't be favored against any of those home seeds. But they match up decently. I know that they've lost every game that they've played to Boston, but most of those games have been really close.
And most of those games, they've been missing somebody.
Yeah, and Isaiah, what did he need? 50, what was it, 50-something, 55 to beat them in Boston?
Yeah, the other night without Deion, what was it, a 4-point game?
They can help with that team.
Listen, no matter who they play, if, first of all, we still have to say if they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, we're making a really big assumption right now. Right. Like, yeah, we're making these assumptions. Like, and that, it makes me so uncomfortable. Like, everyone's talking about first round matchups. I'm like, make it first. But if they do make the playoffs, dude, it's going to be a pain in the ass for whoever they play, because they're not going to stop. They've proven that. They are not going to stop. They are going to be relentless. And they are going to, I mean, they're going to make somebody's life hell. Are they going to win a series? I don't know. And this is a question Baumgard put to me. Who would you rather play if you had your druthers? Would it be the Celtics or the Cavs?
I'd rather play the Celtics, because I think in that type of series, we'd come up with a way to stop Isaiah Thomas. And if you can do that, you can cut off a lot of their offense.
They will not be able to stop LeBron in any meaningful way. It's just they won't be able to.
Yeah, Rodney Magruder on LeBron gives me nightmares. It gives me heartburn. I'm an
they
old
have
Jew,
guys so. That they can throw at him, but I, honestly, without Justice, that's
I think Justice is a player that you're gonna miss more in the playoffs than the regular season because
yep.
I mean he neutralized DeMar DeRozan last year, like
completely but see,
neutralized him.
I think it's two different questions, right? I think which series do you have a better chance of winning? I think the Boston series, right? But what would I rather? I'd rather play the Cavs because you're not winning a championship.
You don't want that.
Dude, you're not going to win a championship.
Yeah, but you're not
Give
gonna,
me
you're
the.
You're not going to be Cleveland. That's going to be embarrassing.
I know you're not. I know you're not.
You want to get embarrassed?
Oh, whatever. Embarrassing. Listen, I'm not playing. Give me the series that has more juice to it. Like, if I'm going to have to, because the Heat are not going to make it past the first round, right?
We don't think they will, right?
Well, we're not expecting a healthy Deion, so.
Okay, so at least give me a series with some juice to it, man.
Like, make LeBron juice. I mean, that those are two fan bases that really.
Yeah, but it's
we
not
have
the same,
a lot
dude.
Of fun. That'll be a more
yeah,
competitive
but I would
series.
Rather be. I'd rather like listen. Neither of them like either. We go. It's the most racist city in America against the most ethnic city in America. Or it's us against LeBron. Like, both of them are, like, really good options. But to me, give me the series with more juice. Give me the series against LeBron. It's more fun.
I don't know.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, but you were right, Alf. The playoff thing is definitely an if, but the game went, like, the tip-in against Detroit was so big because now we have tiebreakers over
everybody.
Chicago, except Chicago. So.
No, but in a four-way tie, I think in any four-way tie, the Heat come out on top.
Right. So, and
like, if there was some jumble, they'll be fine.
And I've been doing the stupid thing where you look at the remaining schedules, and like the Pacers have fallen off a cliff. The Hawks have won two in a row, but they have a tough schedule to close out the season. The Bulls schedule isn't hard, but who the hell knows with the Bulls. And we've separated ourselves from the Pistons. They have a tough schedule, and they can't win on the road. So, you know, if you can...
are in a decent position, man. They are, but
yeah,
like I said, I'm not.
But you guys are making it seem like Miami has a tough schedule. They have a back to back on the road in Toronto and in Washington. They play Washington at home another time. They play Cleveland. They play Denver at home, which is a playoff team. The only two non playoff teams they play are Charlotte and the Knicks again. So Miami's gonna have it rough too with the really,
yeah, but
really
right now
back to back.
Right now without Deion, it's less about what the Heat can do, and more about what the teams chasing them can do.
I think if they play 500 ball, they get in.
Yeah, that's what I think.
It's like hold on for dear life and hope Deion comes back before the playoffs. Because otherwise, it's gonna be. I mean, if Deion's not back for the playoffs, and let's say they drop a stupid game to the Knicks. Like, let's say they drop this game tomorrow. Like, dude, that's just going to hurt because you need, like, these easy wins, you need them, and you need them bad because.
Maybe you can get Cleveland because they're not playing well at home. Maybe if you shoot the ball well, but that's not something you want to count on.
No. You don't want to bank on having to beat Cleveland and who else? They got to play Toronto again?
Toronto and Washington in a back-to-back on the road, both games.
Yeah, like you don't want to bank on having to win those games to make it into the playoffs.
I'm counting those as losses, both of them, on the road, back-to-back.
Yeah, take care of business with the Knicks, like you just did. And then, I mean, beat Charlotte. You have to beat Charlotte. And then, you know, kind of just pray that Detroit and the rest of these teams just continue to collapse.
Win the game against Washington the last day of the season, which Washington might rest their
play. Maybe they clinch.
So maybe, but it doesn't appear that, I mean, Cleveland can't sit. Maybe Cleveland sits their players. I don't know.
Are we going to that game?
We're not going to discuss that on air. Hey, Alf, do you want to go to the game last game of the season?
Why not?
So,
for our listeners, we may or may not go to the last game of the season as a show. So stay on Twitter. Maybe we can all hang out. We can get some.
That's a chance to sit next to Alf, and you guys blew it.
Yeah, you know, we were giving away a seat next to Alf, and, you know, nobody wanted it. I'm sorry,
Alf. I had to watch the game by myself.
Did that make you feel bad?
It was awkward.
Would you have wanted a rando sitting next to you, a listener?
No.
Yeah, that's so mean.
Remember, honestly, remember the lady that asked what
Alf was like? Let's move on.
No? Okay. I thought that was pretty funny.
There's some Tyler Johnson sound we wanted to play.
Oh my God, Brian! We have TJ sound. So our friend at Brass Jazz on Twitter, we'll put his link in the description, did some reporting work. And this is what he came up with.
Hey, man. Hey. Good. Your question. Do you like anime?
Huh?
Do you like anime?
That's
what I thought.
That's what I thought.
Confirmed.
So I really hate TJ now. That is for real now. TJ doesn't love my beloved anime. He doesn't even like it. He said that's not his thing. What is your thing, TJ? Stealing money from the Heat? Not replacing your broken teeth? Is that your thing?
Not being a virgin and watching anime?
Not playing well? Is that your thing?
He's been really good.
He's been really not like, for like four games.
Not watching cartoons as a grown-up?
Let's pump the brakes.
Gianni, the funny part was Tyler was having a good season. I mean, he had a few injuries here or there, but he was playing well. And he was better than Wade the entire year because he was playing defense. And then Wade went and broke his elbow because he's old and he's not as good anymore. And TJ's just looking amazing. And that contract
was
fine.
Bad for 2 months and everyone forgets it.
No, he was not bad for two months. He was bad for like 3 weeks.
He was bad,
dude. No, he was not
that. He was unplayable
at times. And he was also injured.
He was on the court. He was healthy. Mm. He was playing, man. If you're playing, you're good. Well,
he's playing better than Dwayne Wade right now. And he'll be playing better than Dwayne Wade in 2 years from now. Guaranteed.
Dwayne Wade will probably be retired.
Guaranteed. That $20 million you wanted to give Wade in a third year.
Dwayne Wade's going to be on a boat crying in two years.
When that $20 million prevents you from signing an important free agent, you come back to me.
Oh, no.
He'll be like the McBob's deal. We can't get rid of McBob's contract. Can't sign Kevin Durant.
Is he still sitting on the bench? I haven't even noticed
him. Yeah, I didn't even realize that Justice wasn't.
Justice hasn't been on the bench?
He just came
now
out.
Now he is.
Yeah, now he is. Still with his hair, Brian. I'm sorry.
It's longer now.
Justice has a nice girlfriend though. That's good. That's good for Justice.
Justine.
Justine's getting out there. They're gonna have a baby.
Justice. Wait, her name is Justine?
Yes.
I know it's.
Oh great. My god, it's hilarious.
Great. Yeah.
You can't date someone with the same name in female form. Could you imagine Gianni dating a Gianna? It's fucking weird. Oh no.
Giancarlo.
Giovanna, I think, would be the girl version.
Did you guys catch that Harrison just cursed?
Yeah, I did.
Write that down, Brian. Jesus,
I'm sorry. I'm having a.
What's wrong with you?
I'm rusty. I haven't been on for a while.
Do you guys want to play a game?
No.
You guys sound kind of deflated. Brian, let's play a game.
We were expecting a better. Never mind.
It's been very basketball-y show. Let's play a game. Let's lighten up the mood a little bit. This game is Heat Lifer or not a Heat Lifer.
Did we steal this from Zaslo?
I came up with this lunch.
Big game or not a big game?
Okay.
Heat Lifer or not a Heat Lifer with Giancarlo Navas.
Have big
game. Lamar Odom, Heat Lifer or not a Heat Lifer? Alf, you can go first.
What is this game?
Is Lamar Odom a Heat Lifer? Yes,
no, he's a cokehead. No.
What the hell, man? Why are you taking out Lamar Odom?
But I didn't take him out.
He's obviously not a Heat Lifer.
You have to say if he's a Heat Lifer or not. You don't have to character assassinate him.
I'm sorry.
He was here for one season.
Jesus
he's
Christ.
He's a drug addict and he dated a Kardashian. No,
so not
a
Heat Lifer.
Not a Heat Lifer.
Not my Heat Lifer.
I think he's a Heat Lifer.
Why?
Because he got a Shaq?
You're sentimental for no reason.
Shaq! Heat Lifer, not a Heat Lifer. Harrison.
Not a Heat life. Whoa. I don't know. I feel like you have to be here for a certain amount of time to be a Heat lifer. I mean, four seasons is not that long. Or was it three?
Three and a half, right?
Yeah, three and a half.
No, because he got fat and he was mean to Chris Quinn.
Jeez. Chris Quinn is absolutely not a Heat lifer. You can be mean to non-Heat lifer.
No. But now he's a coach. I think Quinny is a Heat lifer.
Quinny's more Heat lifer than Shaq.
Uptown Dale. Heat lifer, not a Heat lifer.
Nah, his pants are way too tight. I saw him at a Panthers game. He was wearing tight jeans and a tucked-in Panthers jersey. Not a Heat lifer.
I'm not the biggest uptown. Who?
Stanley Johnson.
Stanley Johnson?
After that game against Detroit, I think he's a Heat
lifer. I guess it depends if we make the playoffs or not.
Beto is definitely a Heat lifer.
Oh, Beto's a Heat lifer. That's a difference.
He hasn't played 3.5 years, though.
Brian.
Listen, he's...
whatever your name is.
He is still doing solids for the Heat, like, a year later.
Amazing.
Liking Instagram posts of James Johnson dunking on his teammate. Like, that is amazing.
Dude, that is the definition of Heat lifer.
That was pretty funny.
Anthony Carter. Heat lifer.
Not a Heat lifer, but
his agent.
He's also coaching on the Skyforce now, so that's interesting. He's trying to become a Heat lifer, but he's not. It's hard to be a Heat lifer.
I don't know. I think most of those guys would be Heat lifer.
You give everyone a title.
Okay, last one. Okay. Mike Bibby.
Okay, now you're just being stupid.
I think if you played
Mike Bibby's the worst thing that's ever happened to the franchise.
I think if you've played on those big three teams, you automatically get Heat lifer.
Oh, dude, you and his big three crap. No.
Mike, you remember Eddie how excited we were?
Eddie Curry is not a Heat lifer. Jadrunas Ilgauskas is not a Heat lifer.
Yeah, they do.
Eric Dampier is not a Heat lifer.
I think so.
You're making a mockery of the term Heat lifer. So Cleveland is beating Chicago 38-34 right now.
We need Cleveland to win.
Of course they won't.
Yes. We need them to win.
All right, Brian, cut the music. I thought that was a successful first game. I said cut the music, Brian.
You gotta ask better people. You can't ask Mike Bibby and
he asked really bad.
I did like, not ask bad. I thought Uptown Dale was good. Anthony Carter, I think he's a Heat lifer. Lamar Odom, I thought that was good.
What is your definition of a Heat lifer? Somebody that you remember their name?
James Johnson's a Heat lifer after 1 year.
No, yeah, definitely.
I was waiting for you to hit us with like Yakuba Diawara.
No, he's not a Heat lifer. He hit that
Why
shot.
Not?
Because he hit that shot against Brian, put the music back on while we discuss this. Because he hit that shot against the Nets.
I'll play a different song.
No, I want that one.
This is Benny Hill music. Okay, turn it off.
Since Klan rallies. Turn it off! And I'm mad because I don't even have Brian's camera on, so I can't even see his dumb, stupid smile that he has on when he bothers me.
That's your boy, man. Don't talk to him like
you
that.
You win this round, Goins. Stop!
It's so loud. Oh,
I know. It's like loud, and it probably startles people driving. We probably cause accidents.
No one's listening to this. Don't worry.
Oh, speaking of that, speaking of listeners, you can
hey,
buy
it's Mark Bachman.
I knew that was coming up eventually. It was going to be that one or Chang. I knew one of them was coming up.
Hey, guys, it's Anthony Chang.
I don't like him. He's a puppet. I don't want to see him anymore. We're divorced from Anthony Chang on the show. I'm putting an Anthony Chang ban. No
He'll
Anthony
be on
Chang.
Next week.
Until Dion plays his next game, I don't want Anthony Chang
six
on.
6 to 8 weeks, right? In six to 8 weeks?
In 6 to 8 weeks, we can have Anthony Chang on. Until then, nada. No.
Do you think he apologized because he knew he was wrong?
Anthony? Of course he's
what
wrong.
If, what if they... I know, but wouldn't it be funny if they, like, he came out, he did his job, right? He got the news or whatever it was. He's like, okay, the Heat are saying that Deion's fine. And then a week later, it's like, wait a second, maybe this is pretty bad. And now he feels bad that he took a dump on a report.
Al said it best. Leisure would never do that. Leisure would make up an injury for Deion to make a report more true.
I want Leisure back on the pod, but he told me that he thought he'd be terrible because he hasn't watched a game this year, which I hadn't watched this year until recently.
I just asked you guys if Mike Bibby was a Heat lifer. It doesn't get worse than this.
Yeah, and I didn't watch a lot of games this year either, so I mean, it's not a big deal.
You're just being Sedano, not watching
games. No, I don't watch a lot of them live. I end up watching them later, but I do watch the games.
Speaking of Sedano, that was really cool of him to wear the Arsposas shirt on La Nación.
Oh my God, we pissed off Philadelphia, man.
Oh, you know, I'm glad that you brought that up because we haven't talked about this. I don't think we brought this up last pod. When we bothered that guy in Utah who called Heat fans obtuse.
Yeah, what was that?
That, like, Hoops critic editor, Dan something. What was that
guy? Because
Ben Dowsett.
Ben Dowsett, yeah. So
tell the story.
He put some Rudy Gobert numbers, and our writer, Christian Hernandez, just quotes it, and he just adds what Hassan was doing in the similar stat categories. Just to point out that Hassan's having a pretty good year, too, because a lot of Heat fans really take a dump on Hassan, and he's very polarizing here. And this Ben Dowsett guy just goes bananas. He says Christian's being a psycho. He's calling Heat fans obtuse. He's like, why do you have to bring up another player? Why can't two players be playing well at the same time? Like, he just makes all these leaps and just starts slandering Heat fans. I mean, I guess, are we obtuse? I don't even know. I guess we are.
No, we're a bunch of jackasses, but we're really good at this as far as Twitter's
concerned. We're really rude. Like, someone horsecocked him.
They did! Yeah. We back! We Mike!
No, but the best part is, like, when people found all of his old tweets comparing players to Jazz players.
Oh, my God.
Like, doing the exact same thing he accused Christian of doing. Like, and, I mean, talk about obtuse. Like, that guy is a jackass, but whatever.
Dude, he also he pissed off the Warriors. I don't know if it was this season or earlier because of some... He seems to be like just a whiny writer who really likes his Jazz, and when things don't go his way,
he's like Goldhammer in Cleveland. Like, it's just some of these writers are just such. I mean, writers and like these just I don't know what you want to call them, media people are just such bitches, dude. Like, just whiny ass hoes. Like, all of them. Like, so annoying. Like, they get so sensitive. Like Matt Moore from CBS. Like, if you
got blocked.
Oh, nice. If you dare to disagree with his ass, block. Like, dude, grow a pair, man. Like, you sit here and spew opinions all day. Like, someone is going to disagree with you. Like, grow the hell up.
Those writers tend to hate Heat fans.
Yeah, because...
Well, we're a ridiculous group. Yeah, I had to explain horsecocking to Sarah the other night because the same guy had done it to the Detroit mascot, and I was scrolling through... And I cracked up, and
she's like,
what are you laughing at? And I was just like, oh, I showed her the picture of this horse mascot being horsecocked.
Could you explain to the audience what horsecocking is so that the ones that don't know?
It's exactly what you think it is.
It originated during the big 3 years. Many people did not like Miami and Heat Twitter. Let me tell you something. I think
that's like our atomic bomb. That's like setting off a nuclear bomb.
Mike Ryan said it best on the Levitard show. Heat Twitter was born in fire.
Yep.
Like,
we were, man.
These writers can mess with other fan bases, and they'll come with like half-ass comebacks, and they'll just start saying bad words.
Dude, I remember fighting with Hornets Twitter last year. What an unfair fight. They were not prepared.
Amateur hour. Even Raptors like, Twitter. Amateur hour, dude.
Oh, dude! Celtics Twitter
are way too nice.
Celtics Twitter is like they're not funny. They're really savage. Like they're just.
They're oh, just... did you see what happened to the Celtics guy the other day?
No.
When he said something like, yo, how many playoff win? I don't know. Someone was saying something about.
Oh yeah, that was bad.
What happened? That was
he was like, how many playoff wins does Spoelstra have since LeBron left? And he
without
was like,
LeBron.
Yeah, we're like, we won a series last year, and we almost, yeah, we're like,
he,
we're
7-7. No, he said, what is Spo's record without LeBron in the playoffs since LeBron left?
It's
and
seven
it was like 7-7, while Brad Stevens is 2-8.
Yep.
So that was that really wasn't his shining moment.
I love when.
No, I'm sorry. Spo was 7-8, right?
Like 77.
No, 7-7.
They won in 7. And
yeah, I'm sorry. 7-7. Yeah.
I love when people.
Don't give us another loss.
Sorry.
Don't you dare. They didn't lose in 8. I love when like people outside, like from other fan bases or other writers, mostly writers, when they decide that they want to take it up with Heat Twitter, that they never win that.
Oh no, it's always bad.
They get
it's like what happened to Michael Rapaport.
Oh my God.
Michael Rapaport thinks he's a professional comedian. He thinks he's hilarious, and then he got into it with Mike Ryan. And I mean that was the end of him pretty quickly.
He's gone, right? He's gone.
Yeah, we're done with him. But see, that's the thing that's funny, guy? Like, huh?
Remember the basketball breakdown guy?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Mike Ryan is not even like beloved by Heat Twitter. Like, we go at Mike Ryan all the time, but go at Mike Ryan. Like, no, he's one of us. Like, we can beat up on Mike Ryan, but nobody else can. It's like what happened with Sedano and Coach the other day. Like, people are constantly badgering Sedano from Heat Twitter. But as soon as Sedano got into it with Coach, you see a bunch of Heat Twitter people just destroying poor Coachman. And that's another whiny bitch. Jonathan Coachman. What is his deal, dude? Golly. Like, do you remember he got mad because Stu Gotch was on Mike and Mike? Now he's mad that Sedano has his own show? Like, I mean, the guy's just angry.
I'll just wrestle one today, dude.
Now, I haven't done this in a while, man. Like, I haven't done this in a while with media people. Like, I've left. Else? No, I've. You see, I've been leaving local Miami sports media alone because I'm trying to be one of them.
I'm trying to get blocked by Ira so hard, and it's not working. He won't block me.
Ira won't block you?
Ira won't block me. Like, I just always tweet him secondary audio. I'm just really mean to him. I almost feel bad. And I think yesterday he put on Twitter.
You're like, no one asked you if
so yesterday he put, like, talking about his son covering a Florida game in Madison Square Garden. And I'm like, I quote tweet him. I was like, no one asked you. Like,
what? No, you missed the joke. Because he had a hashtag on that tweet. Did you see the hashtag?
No.
Grinding Windermans.
Oh my God.
You did not use like, that.
That was the joke. You missed the joke completely. Like, he wrote Grinding Windermans, which might be the grossest thing I've ever read. That is the grossest hashtag of all time.
I thought my tweet was funny, but yeah, you're right. That's
yeah, you missed the joke on that
one. I'm sure Winderman's wife was calling him like, you can't be doing that hashtag ever.
You can't be grind. You can't talk about your son and then put
Grinding Windermans.
Your love of the outdoors led you to buy a fishing boat. And your love of your boat led you to turn a day on the water into a 4-day trip, which led you to a record-breaking trout and a bubbling lava hot sunburn, which led you to a new respect for proper sun care technique. Fortunately, your love of your fishing boat also led you to protect it with Progressive Boat Insurance, which you got indoors because of that sunburn. Ouch. I want to put some aloe on that. Visit Progressive.com to cover the things you love. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.